Welcome to Power for Life. This broadcast brings to you a message of life-changing revival in the Holy Spirit. We pray that today's program will help to spur you on to experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, here with today's message is Tom Hill.
For our Bible study today, I call your attention to Numbers chapter 20. This is an especially interesting passage because it is the third time that the children of Israel encounter the difficulty of water on their trip from Egypt to the Promised Land. It also adds a little bit of difference in the sin of the people in that it includes Moses and Aaron this time. So we find that the whole congregation, including the leadership, is sinning against God and failing to believe and trust Him. I want to read just a few verses from this chapter. The whole story goes down through verse number 13 of Numbers chapter 20. But I only want to read just a few verses at the start, and then we'll bring the other references in as we proceed through our study. Here's what the scriptures tell us in Numbers chapter 20, starting in verse number 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode at Kadesh. Now, this is the second time they've been to Kadesh. The first time they sent out 12 spies into the Promised Land to view it and to come back with a report. They've returned back to the same spot. And it is here that Miriam died and was buried there. Miriam is Moses and Aaron's sister. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chided with him and said, "Would to God that we had died with our brethren before the Lord." There are a number of occasions when God sent plagues among his people and killed them for their sin. Other times he sent fire out from the tabernacle and destroyed those who didn't believe and trust and who chided against God. And they are saying, "Would to God that we had died with them. And why have we brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that our cattle should die? And wherefore have you made us come from Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink." And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the people unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Just briefly, I want to describe the setting in case the scriptures were a little bit confusing to you. They've come back to the city or the location of Kadesh. There's no water. This is the third time that the children of Israel have encountered the difficulty of water. One time there was water, but it was bitter. The second time there was no water at all. And God commanded Moses to strike the rock, and out of the rock would flow water. And it did. And now for a third time, they're encountering the problem of water. And they complain and they cry unto Moses and to Aaron for their difficult circumstances. At the heart of their complaint, and at the heart of the response of Moses and Aaron to this circumstance, we find once again the sin of unbelief. Their failure to believe and to trust God completely, solely, exclusively, trusting nothing else. And we find that because of their unbelief, they fall prey to its expression in their life. And our passage describes for us how that unbelief affected their lives and their conduct. And for our study today, I want us to examine this passage and see how unbelief affected their lives, that we might learn from their example, that we might be admonished, and we might avoid what they did, that we might walk in faith and trust and obedience to God completely with all of our hearts, that we might experience His spiritual promised land in our daily walk with the Lord. Now notice here, first of all, in their sin of unbelief, I want us to focus our attention initially upon the congregation, the people of Israel, and their response to their conditions and their circumstance here. There's no water. And they complain to Moses and Aaron, "Why did you bring us out here? To die? And for all of our cattle to die? There's nothing here for us." So we find initially that unbelief causes the people to rebel against God and His design and purpose for them. And we see the rebellion very clearly described for us here. For it says in verse number 3, it says the people chided with Moses and with Aaron. Well, that's a very strong word, isn't it? And most of us understand its meaning just by the word itself. It almost carries its meaning just by using it. They chided with him. Literally, they struggled with him. There was a verbal debate between the people and Moses and Aaron. They were complaining and crying and moaning about their conditions, the lack of water. You say, well, isn't that somewhat fair? Water is very important and vital to life, and if there is no water to sustain life, then we die. Well, I can see where there might be some occasion to stir up your minds a little bit, but you want to remember that the children of Israel have had 10 miracles performed on their behalf back in Egypt. And since their departure and their exodus from Egypt through the promised land, God has displayed His might and power on many occasions. There was the Red Sea when He divided it and they walked across on dry land. There was the bitter water at Marah where He gave them fresh water by throwing a tree into the bitter waters and it became fresh. There was a time when God gave them manna, when He gave them quail from heaven so deep it was up to their knees. There were times when God provided for them abundantly on their behalf. And so, yes, there was occasion for them to be concerned that there was no water, but there was no excuse for their failing to believe and trust God. For He had revealed Himself on numerous occasions and showed His power, had shown His provision on their behalf. And there was plenty of back experience with God on which they could rely and trust. Yes, there's no water. Yes, we need water. God provide it for us. We are trusting You. But rather than believe and trust God, instead they chided with Moses and with Aaron, complaining about their circumstance, failing to believe and trust God yet again. And we find the Scriptures give very clear explanation about this chiding, and it calls it strife. For we find, as we read on in the book of Numbers, to Numbers 27, for example, that's how it's described. This very setting, God is describing it, and He called it the strife of Israel. We also find that when God records His word in Deuteronomy 33, He talks about this very condition that says that He was striving with the people, and the people were striving with Him. So we've got a condition here of unbelief. And because of the unbelief of the children of Israel, they chided with God. There was a striving of wills and of desires between God and the children of Israel. There was an obstinacy on the part of the children of Israel. There was a rebelliousness in their whole attitude. Unbelief causes us to rebel against God and His design and His plan for us. That's the sin of the congregation of a whole. Now I want us to shift our attention just a little bit and to see the sin of Moses and of Aaron. For under these same circumstances, sadly, they fell into the sin of unbelief, just like the rest of the people did. When we last left Moses and Aaron, they had gone to the temple, to the tabernacle, to the door of the tabernacle, it said, and they fell on their faces before God, and the glory of God came down upon them. They cried out to God, and they said, "The people are crying again, complaining about the lack of water. What shall we do?" God gave them very clear direction. "This time, Moses, what I want you to do is I want you to go to the rock, take your rod in your hand. Only this time, I don't want you to hit the rock. I want you simply to speak to the rock. And when you speak to the rock, water will come forth to provide for the people. So Moses and Aaron take up their command and they go out. Only something happens on the way. For we see in the attitude and the behavior of Moses and Aaron a change. And we find that change recorded for us in verse number 9 and verse number 10. And it says this, "And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them," in other words, Moses is speaking unto the people, and he says, "Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And what was the command of the Lord to Moses and to Aaron as they were on their faces before God in the tent of the tabernacle? He said, "Speak to the rock. Take your rod, but speak to the rock." And what did Moses do? He took the rod and he left the congregation, or the temple of the congregation, and he went out to the rock and he hit the rock. Not once, but twice. He smote the rock. We find here that in the lives of Moses and Aaron, who so often had to endure the complaining attitude of the children of Israel, and they did so with great patience. We find, however, on this occasion, the disobedience of Moses and of Aaron. And we find that in their disobedience, at the very heart of it, was unbelief. Just like was shown in the lives of the congregation of Israel, unbelief now somehow crept in to Moses and Aaron, and they didn't believe God. For we find recorded, if we were to read on, after verse 11, it says this, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron and said, Because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the promised land." So we find at the very heart of the conduct of Moses and Aaron in their refusing to speak to the rock, but instead hitting the rock, behind their disobedience was unbelief. So we see now as we focus upon them that unbelief causes disobedience. Unbelief causes us to disobey God's direct, clear command. We see it very clearly here. I don't want to belabor the point, but we see with Moses, the command was to speak to the rock, and instead he smote the rock. Not once, but twice. And we find that Aaron was in compliance with that same action as well. So we see that Moses and Aaron failed to obey God's very clear direction to them. "Speak to the rock, Moses." And Moses went out and instead hit the rock twice. Unbelief causes disobedience. Now I want you to notice as an after effect, or as part of the disobedience of Moses and Aaron in failing to obey God, the Scriptures call their sin a trespass. If we were to turn to some other references in Scripture that bear upon this same passage, for example, if we were to go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 51, it talks about the conduct of Moses and Aaron, and it describes it in this fashion: "You trespassed against me." Well, now what does it mean to trespass? Well, the word used there in Deuteronomy to trespass means this. It means to cover up. It means to hide. So what happened when Moses and Aaron trespassed against the command of God and disobeyed? They disguised God. They covered him up. They hid him, as it were, so that the revelation that God wanted to bring to the children of Israel by Moses just speaking to the rock was entirely lost. It was hidden. It was covered up. because of their sin. And notice it says it there in verse number 12. It says this, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the people. In other words, there was some kind of separation that God wanted to reveal to the people by Moses just speaking to the rock and the water coming forth that was entirely covered up. It was disguised because of the disobedience of Moses and Aaron. So we find at the very heart of their conduct was unbelief. God said, because you did not believe me, you will now be punished by not going into the promised land yourself. And in fact, later on, we would read through the scriptures, we would find that not too long later, Aaron died. And there was a number of years later that Moses finally died, but neither of them went into the promised land. And they did not go into the promised land because of their unbelief. They failed to believe God. And because they did not believe, they doubted, they disobeyed His command, and they disguised the glory of God. So we see that unbelief not only causes us to rebel against God, but we see also that unbelief causes disobedience. It causes us to disobey God's command. And in the process of our disobedience, we cover Him up. We disguise Him so that God is not revealed through our conduct in the manner in which He desires. There's one more thing I want us to see here about the unbelief of Moses and Aaron, as opposed to just the children of Israel on this occasion. And that's this. The unbelief of Moses and Aaron allowed their fleshly human nature to dominate and control their lives. Notice what happened in verse number 10, especially, and in verse number 11. We find a totally different picture of Moses. The scriptures describe Moses as the meekest man that ever lived. Not the weakest man, but the meekest man. Mild, unperturbed by all of the complaints of the people. But we find here in verse number 10, the human nature of Moses expressing itself in his conduct. For it says, he went out, here you rebels, must we fetch water for you? And he goes over to the rock and he hits it twice. We find shown for us here in the conduct of Moses, anger. Anger on the part of Moses. And his speech was one of anger in the way he expressed his actions. And we find as we read through Scripture in the New Testament, when it talks about our human natures, the flesh, our hearts, our sinful human hearts, one of the main expressions of our sinful human nature is anger. Sadly, today, much of society is filled with anger, is it not? And we find that there are many well-intentioned people who say that the way to cure your anger is to express it. Vent your anger. Speak it. Say it. Do it. Allow your anger to come out and express yourself. And that is exactly contrary to the Scriptures. On no other occasion do we find God giving us counsel and advice to express our anger. Rather, instead, we are to give place to anger. Judgment belongs to God. God is the one who is to give according to what someone deserves, not me. And instead, I am to walk under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, who controls my anger and its violent expressions. We find, in fact, if we are to read in other references that relate back to this situation, for example, in Psalm 106, it describes it in exactly that fashion. It says that the people angered Moses, and he spoke unadvisedly. And my friends, that's exactly what you will do when you give vent to your anger. Whenever you allow anger to control and dominate your life, you will speak unadvisedly. You will say something that later you regret. You will say something that will cause a conflict between you and someone else that perhaps cannot be healed or corrected. Ah, anger. Oh, it has such disastrous effects upon our lives. And we see it here displayed by Moses and Aaron. Because of their unbelief, they acted and spoke in anger, according to their own human fleshly passions. And all the disastrous effect upon their lives as a consequence. Well, what does the Spirit of God want these truths to accomplish in your life today? First, He wants you to know the truth. He wants you to understand that at the heart of your sinful conduct, at the heart of my sinful conduct, is unbelief. A failure to believe and trust God completely, exclusively, and to obey His Word. He wants us to know that when we live a life of unbelief, we will rebel against God, just like these people did. When we live a life of unbelief, we will also allow our human nature to express itself in our speech and our conduct by revealing anger and other varieties of sinful behavior and conduct. We find that when we follow a life of unbelief, that our sin will be one of disobedience, where we will hide and cover up God and His glory. He wants you to know that truth. Where has the Spirit of God opened your eyes today to see where this conduct described for us in Numbers chapter 20 is a part of your life? Maybe it describes you rather clearly. Where has He identified your disobedience and your failure to obey His Word? You've disguised God in the process. Where has He identified for you your failure to suppress the fleshly nature by the power of the Spirit and instead given expression to your anger by speaking in a fashion that was not wise? Where has the Spirit of God identified in your life these same sinful conduct patterns as described here in Numbers chapter 20? Why does the Spirit of God identify these areas in your life? He does so for this reason. He wants to correct you. He wants to remove from your experience those sinful patterns, that you might instead conform your life, your opinions, your conduct, according to the truths of God's Word. I pray that the Spirit of God will open your eyes today, will correct you, will change you, conform your life and your pattern of life, your conduct, your opinions and attitudes according to the truth of God's Word, that you might begin to experience today a spiritual revival that will revolutionize your life, change you from this day forward.